Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
This is Nightline. Tonight, unsealed, stunning allegations from the search warrant of the raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. The former president under investigation for possibly violating the Espionage Act and obstructing justice. 11 sets of classified and top secret documents seized by FBI agents. What were investigators looking for? Plus, Salman Rushdie, a shocking and gruesome onstage attack why the controversial writer has lived under threat for decades. As authorities search for answers, the latest on his condition. And without a trace.
She left. She never came back.
A young mother and child disappear. Their family still left with questions 23 years later.
What can I do? What can I do? And I would turn up empty-handed.
We're with the Good Samaritans, Adventures with Purpose. Diving to get answers.
How can we get out again? When can we go and help more people?
Inside, how this duo cracks open decades-old cold cases. Yes. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. We begin tonight with the alarming allegations from the newly unsealed search warrant to enter former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Justice Department officials had probable cause to believe that he was keeping classified documents with national security implications in his home. The Washington Post reporting that some of those documents were related to nuclear weapons. Here's ABC's chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
Tonight, an eye-opening window into why the FBI took the extraordinary step of executing a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. A federal judge unsealing the warrant, making it public, along with an accounting of what federal agents seized from former President Trump's property. The documents revealed just how much federal agents found: 27 boxes of government records, including 11 sets of classified documents. The property receipt, a copy of which Trump's attorney received from federal agents at Mar-a-Lago on Monday night, shows that the 11 sets of classified material included 4 sets marked top secret and 1 at an even higher classification, top secret SCI, a classification reserved for some of the most sensitive intelligence possessed by the U.S. government, meant to be viewed only in a highly secure location.
TSSCI information or intelligence is highly sensitive, and it is marked or classified as top secret SCI in acknowledgement that the disclosure of that information would incur grave harm to the national security of the United States.
The document does not say what the classified information is. The Washington Post has reported that among the material sought by federal agents was related to U.S. nuclear weapons programs. The warrant reveals agents were looking for evidence of 3 potential crimes: violations of the Espionage Act, unlawful removal of public records, and obstruction of justice by concealing, altering, or destroying records to impede an investigation. Agents also recovered unclassified records, one item marked the President of France, another, executive grant of clemency for Trump ally Roger Stone, that along with binders of photos and a handwritten note. The warrant, signed by a Florida magistrate, allowed FBI agents to search Trump's office, all storage rooms and areas used or available to be used by Trump and his staff, giving agents wide authority to search much of the property. The execution of the search warrant on Monday came after DOJ made a months-long effort to get Trump to turn the materials over, including a subpoena earlier this year and a visit by a small group of federal agents to Mar-a-Lago in June when Trump was at the property. As the attorney general said, they tried other routes before executing the search warrant.
Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
The warrant did not grant access to private guest rooms of Mar-a-Lago or areas otherwise used by people other than Trump and his staff. The former president said he was encouraging the immediate release of those documents, even though his lawyers had had them since Monday and could have released them at any time. Before the warrant was made public, House Republicans on the Intelligence Committee today called for the release of more information, demanding evidence of an imminent security threat to justify the search. They want the Justice Department to make public the affidavit presented to the judge outlining the justification for the search warrant.
The FBI raid of President Trump is a complete abuse and overreach of its authority.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi criticized Republicans for attacking the FBI and suggesting the search was politically motivated.
You would think there would be an adult in the Republican room that would say, just calm down, see what the facts are, and let's go for that, instead of, instigating assaults on law enforcement.
Our thanks to Jonathan. Now to that shocking attack on celebrated author Salman Rushdie as he was about to deliver a lecture in upstate New York. His longtime editor saying he suffered nerve and organ damage and he may lose an eye. The 75-year-old is also on a ventilator, tonight unable to speak. After years of hiding with a bounty on his head, the writer had been living openly in New York City. Here's ABC's Mola Lenghi.
Tonight, Salman Rushdie is in the hospital, and a man is in custody. The famed author airlifted after a brazen attack.
But the amphitheater presenter was just attacked on the stage. I need EMS.
Authorities say the man, seen here, attacked the author as he was about to give a lecture at the Chautauqua Institution.
The suspect has been identified as Haiti Matar, age 24, from Fairview, New Jersey.
Joshua Goodman with the Associated Press witnessed the attack.
He had just walked onto the stage and a man rushed from this audience up onto the stage and started punching or stabbing. It wasn't quite clear.
Rushdie has spent decades looking over his shoulder. His 1988 book, The Satanic Verses, is considered by many Muslims to be insulting to Islam. After it was published, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, issuing a fatwa calling for Rushdie to be killed. One religious group reportedly promising a bounty of more than $3 million.
Our thanks to Mola. Up next, a group that helps those whose loved ones disappeared without a trace.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been decades since a young mother and her small child left home, never to be seen again. Could their loved ones ever find out what happened? A team of volunteers called Adventures with Purpose offers them and countless others something precious, hope. Here's another look at the report from ABC's Bob Woodruff.
Jacob,
My daughter is a little fireball. Just a little ball of energy. She's excited. She's always happy and smiling. She brings a lot of light to my day.
There's a hint of magic in this family. To the outside world, baby Oakley hasn't a single care, wrapped up in the loving arms of mom and dad. But for Desiree Carpenter, the love she shares with little Oakley is an opportunity to give her baby girl something she never had herself.
I never grew up with a mother, so I didn't have that to go off of. So I try my best to overcompensate for her so that she knows, like, I'm here for her and I care for her. And, you know, I try to give her that relationship with her mom that I will never have with mine.
On a warm, windy evening in September, 23 years ago, Desiree's mother, 19-year-old Samantha Hopper, dropped off then 4-year-old Desiree at her grandmother Debbie's house before driving off with her 2-year-old daughter, Courtney.
She always said she loved me. And so she left, she never came back. And then it just went on and on and on. I'd sat on my front porch watching the road. She never come back.
Samantha disappeared without a trace. Despite a lengthy police investigation that went on for 2 decades, there were no signs of her or her young daughter, Courtney, vanished and missing for more than 23 years.
I filled out so many missing person reports that every time you do that, you had to give them a picture. And I don't have no pictures left. I don't have nothing.
Despite the pain, despite the anguish, Samantha's case, tragically, is anything but unique. Every year, more than 600,000 people go missing in the United States. It's been called the nation's silent mass disaster, a trend that presents an alarming reality for families and law enforcement. Hundreds of thousands of people to search for across millions of square miles of this country by authorities with limited time and resources.
It's a profound problem for law enforcement. Dozens of missing persons cases, and they take an inordinate amount of time. And let's face it, local law enforcement is really not equipped, either manpower or money-wise, to do that.
I lost hope. I just got to a place where I was like, there's no way she's alive. She just can't be alive. And I think when I had my daughter, that sealed it for me. I was like, there's no way. There's no scenario where I could see walking away from my daughter. It almost hurt more to think that she could be alive.
While her hope may have been fleeting, her determination was not. Unable to get anything concrete from law enforcement, Desiree's search for answers took her to an unlikely place, YouTube.
Let's just kind of start at the very beginning.
And a group of guys with a boat, some sonar, some diving gear, and a willingness to search in places where others could not.
I had a friend, she was in a Facebook group with me. Somebody had posted that there was a diver coming. My friend saw it, tagged me in it, telling me, you need to get in contact with these people and see, you know, if they can help you.
They are Adventures with Purpose, a team of volunteer divers scouring the country looking for missing persons cold cases. Jared Lysik and Doug Bishop are not law enforcement, but a couple friends coming from humble beginnings.
So I started a YouTube series called Adventures with Purpose in July of 2018. And that was, you know, just simply getting in the water, showing what was out of sight, out of mind, picking up pop cans, bottles, any garbage that I can find.
So when did you make that shift from trying to clean something off the bottom of the lake to somehow trying to find all sorts of pieces of evidence from previous cases and find human bodies?
It became a calling, you know, when a family reached out to me in the fall of 2019. They had seen these videos that we were putting up on YouTube as finding vehicles and pulling them out of the water. And they reached out and they said, you know, we have a lost loved one here in Warrenton, Missouri. We believe that he's in the water. We have a cell phone ping at this boat ramp. Can you come help us? Because nobody else is helping us.
With so many families feeling like there's nobody to help, Jared and Doug are filling a critical need, going where police and investigators rarely have the tools, technology, and skills to go.
What's the percentage of success on this? When you start searching, how often do you get the results that you want?
For the cases that we take on, between 15 and 18% is what we're currently solving.
Okay, so we have a 18% chance today that we'll find.
And for law enforcement, I'm sure that the statistics are close to a half of a percent of them solving a cold case.
So when you look at people who have diving experience, that have sonar, that have the ability to look down into water for cars or humans or whatever it might be, some larger police departments will have those, but they're limited resources. And unfortunately, a typical missing persons case, if there's no indication of foul play, you're not going to get, by and large, law enforcement to use those resources to look for a person. That is the reality that face families, loved ones, etc. And so individual private groups like this group of divers are just a godsend that they're out there.
Their adventures so far are making an impact, and in the process have become social media sensations, with more than 2 million subscribers on YouTube, racking up more than 200 million views.
It was such an incredible feeling, like, how can we get out again? When can we go and help more people?
Today, on these ponds and lakes in central Georgia, they're trying to find answers about a missing father whose family says has vanished without a trace and hasn't been seen for months. Their work is, in many ways, a double-edged sword, a delicate balance between offering up hope and sobering truth. Failure means another day of no answers for these grieving families. Success means confirmation of their greatest fears.
People call you up, the family, they contact you when they almost know for sure that they will not be found alive.
That's a tough one. Normally they're reaching out to us because they have had a friend or a family member that has seen our show on YouTube or Facebook, and we don't charge them a dime for our time. Same thing with law enforcement. We don't send them a bill for what we do either. We're working side by side with you and your family, and that as we find a target and we dive down on the target, we're holding our breath. Family's holding their breath. And we're always hopeful that we're going to come up with those answers that they need that day.
On this day, they would not find that slim chance of success. Not every family gets an answer to their questions. Not every story has an ending. Sometimes they will go years without a sliver of truth to go off of.
My husband would just hold my hand and he was like, this guy is going to find your mom. He really might find your mom. And we used to sit there and watch his videos and we just tear up just thinking about what that would feel like. What that would feel like for him to be able to find my mom.
But sometimes in those slimmest of chances, on those most wishful of hopes, they find an answer. In October, 23 years and 1 month after she went missing, Jared and his team found Samantha and Courtney. Her car sitting in less than 10 feet of water, just a few miles from her home, ever since that fateful September night.
For me, when I went up on the bridge and spoke with the detective who is over my mom's case, when I spoke with him, I was like, okay. And him pulling her purse out of the car and showing it to me, I was like, okay, this is it. I don't have to deny it anymore. I don't have to tell myself that it's not her to make it feel better. It's her. It was so painful. But it was almost like a relief. It was like a relief that she didn't love me. She didn't leave me. She would have never left me.
People spend their lives searching for purpose, for meaning, for an aim to our lives that makes sense. But sometimes purpose isn't found in the things we do for ourselves, but the moments we give to others that makes all the difference.
I don't have peace yet. People keep telling me at least I have closure. I don't feel like I have closure. I have 100 more questions than I had yesterday. What I do have now is I have a place where I can take my daughter one day, and I can take her to visit my mom and my sister. And I think for me, over time, I hope that I can learn to be okay with this.
Our thanks to Bob. The group is making an impact. They say they've already solved 23 cold cases. And finally tonight, actress Anne H.'s family says she has died 1 week after that horrific crash. Family and fans paying tribute to the actress. Her son, Homer, saying, "Hopefully my mom is free from pain and beginning to explore what I like to imagine as her eternal freedom." Ellen DeGeneres saying of her former partner, "This is a sad day. I'm sending Anne's children and family and friends all of my love." And that's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time on Monday. Have a great weekend. Good night, America.